Now, this is just a little bit of out loud thinking that I'm going to do. I want us to notice several things that are very important in the difference between the commands in the Old Testament concerning the Passover and where there is an apparent contradiction of those clear scriptures. The apparent contradiction appears in Deuteronomy 16. Now, I don't want to turn to Deuteronomy 16 yet, but we will go. Let's first of all go to Exodus 12, where we have the very first command for the Passover lamb and the time and who should kill the Passover lamb. Okay? Okay, Exodus 12. Let's pick it up here and let's just note some important things that it tells us as we're going along, because this is going to be important when we get to the comparison in Deuteronomy 16. Okay? Now, it says, verse 3, speak unto all the congregation. Notice this is not to the Levites or the priests. Okay? It's to all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month, let everyone take to them, every man, a lamb. So I want you to write down lamb. We'll put one column here, we'll put Exodus. We'll put another column, Exodus. We'll put Passover. Next column, make another column just to the right of that, and we will put Feast of Unleavened Bread. And then next to that, we will put Deuteronomy 16. Make the first column Exodus Passover. Next column, just put DUB, Days of Unleavened Bread. Next column, put Deuteronomy 16. There's a reason for that. And I'm still thinking while I'm going along here. Under the column, DUB, for Days of Unleavened Bread, put Ab, A-I-B, which stands for the month of Ab. Okay, now let's go back here to Exodus 12, and let's follow the commands. It says, a lamb for a house. There was to be a lamb for every house, all right? And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the souls, every man according to the eating. So you make your count for the lamb. Okay? Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Very important, a male of the first year. In the first year. Now, generally, the lambs were born prior to the time of the Passover. Generally, the lambs are born in our time, counting somewhere around February, the first part of March. Even here in the United States, that's when the lambs are born, February, the first part of March. Okay? So it could not be a lamb of more than 1 year. So it wouldn't be a big lamb. It would be a small one. Number one, a small lamb. We find in another place that it had to be, so here we're going to write down lamb, small. And we know in another place it tells us that it will be under its mother 7 days, and in the eighth day you can use it for a sacrifice. So it had to be over 8 days old and not more and less than a year old in the first year, of the first year. Okay, that's very important. So that you're not going to have a huge, gigantic, one-year-old lamb that you're going to use for the Passover sacrifice. Had to be within 1 year. So you couldn't have a lamb born in February of 1 year, go past the Passover time, come clear around to the Passover time the second year, and use that lamb. Okay, that lamb would be gigantic by that time. Okay, now let's go on here. Okay, of the first year, you shall take it out of the sheep or from the goat. So we'll put a lamb or kid. Very important. Lamb or kid. And I'm going to put right next to that Exodus 12, 3 through 5. Okay? It's to be a lamb, number one, or a kid. Okay, verse 6. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Now, we've gone through that showing that this evening is the beginning of the day, Bein Ha'arba'im. Okay? Who was to kill the lamb? Answer, whole congregation. And there was to be a lamb for a household, so it would be, who would kill the lamb? The head of the house. Put down there, killed at home. Or you can buy head of the house. Buy the head of the house. Okay, the reason we're doing this, you'll see as we go along, be very important. Make your columns. Put these in the columns, please. Then we'll do a comparison going across. Okay? then the rest of it, take the blood. Okay, verse 11. Bottom line, the last line here. It is the Lord's Passover. Okay, it's called the Passover. Why? Because he passed over their houses. Verse 13. So we can put Passover, verse 11 and 13. Because there's a subtle sleight of hand that takes place in Deuteronomy 16. Speaking of sleight of hands that we had last week. Okay? Now, let's go to verse 26. Verse 26, and it says, and it shall come to pass when your children will say to you, what mean you by this service? You shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover who passed over the houses of the children of Israel. So we have Passover because of passing over. That was to be the explanation. Question at this point. When God passed over the houses of the children of Israel, where were they? At home in their houses. That's correct. Now, you might not think that that's a very important question because it's so simple and so obvious, but it is very important. Okay? Very important. Okay? Passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he smote the Egyptians, and he delivered our houses. Very important, because some people try to say they were all gathered together at Ramses in tents. And Josephus, who was a Pharisee, also said that they were gathered together in one place. If they were gathered together in one place, why call for the elders of Israel and tell them to go tell everyone in their houses? They were in their houses. They had not yet been let go. Okay, very important thing. They weren't let go until when? Till the killing of the firstborn, yes. And they stayed in their houses all night, and no one went out until the morning. We all know that. It's very fundamental, but you're going to see why this will be so important in a minute. Okay? And the people bowed their head and worshipped, and the children of Israel went away and did it as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. All right. Verse 40. We'll go under DUB. Put this under DUB. This next one, verse 40. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel that dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. Now they are gathered as a host. That means all together in the army. Okay? As an army, rather, not in the army. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. So under the DUB, we have bringing out. When did that take place? That took place, they left their houses in the morning. They all gathered at Ramses and all left from Ramses, and they left, I'm sure, starting late in the afternoon. I'm sure they started late in the afternoon by the time everybody got there. But by the time the last ones left, it was into the 15th day. So they left. They departed Egypt on the 15th day. They started leaving on the day part of the 14th, but they couldn't all possibly get out of Ramses when you figure 1.5 million people and you start lining up and now it's your turn, and now it's your turn, and now it's your turn, and now it's your turn. Hey, time is going, the sun is going down, and they did not get out of there until that night in bringing them out of the land of Egypt. Okay? Very important to remember. Now, let's come to chapter 13 and verse 1. Still under the days of unleavened bread. Exodus 13 and verse 1. Okay. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by the strength of hand the Lord has brought you out from this place. There shall no unleavened bread be eaten. Now I want you to notice verse 4, very important verse. This day came you out in the month of Abib. A-B-I-B. Insert a B there. A-B-I-B instead of A-I-B as I had it. Because the Hebrew is A-I-V. But it's pronounced in the English Abib. A-B-I-B. Question. What is the month of Abib associated with primarily by declaration? Passover or the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Think very carefully. It's associated with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It's not mentioned with the Passover, but it is mentioned directly with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We'll see that two more times. Very important thing to remember. Okay? Now, let's drop down to verse 6. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. And I want to emphasize seven. Seven, 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 seven. Okay? Please remember that. That'll become important when we come to Deuteronomy 16. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. There shall no leaven be seen with you, neither shall there be leaven seen with you in all your quarters. And you shall show your son in that day, saying, this is done because of that which the Lord did to me when I came forth out of Egypt. What shall be? In the month of Ab? The service of what? Of the night to be remembered, and the sacrifice of all of the firstborn. Very important. Okay? They were not brought out at the Passover. He passed over them while they were in their homes. Key to remember. I know it's only the second day, but we're going to be dealing with another little sleight of hand we will see, and it never dawned on me until I was really thinking about it and praying about it and trying to work on this thing for this new what I'm going to do on the Passover and unleavened bread to solve the problem of the 14th and 15th. Now, you'll see why. It will dawn clear in just a little bit. Let's go to chapter 23. Chapter 23. Now, I want you to pay particular attention to the way that this is structured. Chapter 23 and verse 14. Exodus 23 and verse 14. Three times shall you keep a feast unto me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded you in the time appointed of the month Abib. I want to emphasize month Abib. I want to emphasize feast of unleavened bread. Very important. For in it, the month of Abib, now notice wherever it comes with the month of Abib, it is connected with what? For in it you came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. Then it says, and the feast of the harvest of first fruits of your labors, which you've sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is at the end of the year. Three times shall all your males appear before the Lord your God. And it says, and you shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning. And the first of the first fruits of the land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not see the kid in its mother's milk. That last one has nothing to do with what we're doing here. But again, the month of Abib is associated with what? Feast of unleavened bread and the going forth, right? Yes. We know the Passover is the day before, but the Passover is, though it is in the month of Abib, is not directly associated in the same phrase in the month of Abib as the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Key important thing. We'll see that as we go along. Okay, so we have Exodus. Let's go to Exodus 38. Or is it 34? Let me find it here. Is there 34? Okay, 34. Okay, Exodus 34. And verse 18. Exodus 34 and verse 18. Now, what I want to do is get an old Bible and do a little bit of cutting and splicing, or maybe make some copies of pages and cut and splice and do a parallel with these, because this will be very important, because it will prove the point that I'm going to bring here in just a little bit. Verse 18. The feast of unleavened bread you shall keep 7 days, and I want to emphasize seven, very important. Shall you eat unleavened bread as I commanded you in the time of the month Abib. I want to mention Abib again. For in the month of Abib, you came out of Egypt. Then it emphasizes the situation there with the firstlings. Then we come down here to verse 22. And you shall observe the feast of weeks, the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the feast of ingathering in the end of the year. Three times in a year shall all your men children appear before the Lord your God. Okay. And he repeats the thing here again about down in verse 25 about offering the blood of the sacrifice. Then it says, neither shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until morning. Now that ties back in with Exodus 12, not to be left till morning. Okay. But we are also told that the sacrifice for the day of unleavened bread was not to be left till morning. Okay? Now, let's go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23. All this we know, but I'm doing this, I'm building a base. So when we get to Deuteronomy 16, we'll understand exactly what I'm doing here. Okay, Leviticus 23 and verse 5. In the 14th day of the first month at even, Bein Ha'ar Ba'im, between the two evenings, is the Lord's Passover. Okay? On the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. In the first day you shall have a holy convocation, you'll do no servile work therein, but you shall make an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the 7th day is a holy convocation, you shall do no servile work therein. Okay, fine, no problem. We have Leviticus 23, verse 4, put that, or verse 5, rather, put that under Passover. And that's on the 14th, Leviticus 23 and verse 6 through 8, the days of unleavened bread. Now let's come to Numbers, the 28th chapter. Numbers, the 28th chapter. Okay, and here it talks about an offering made by fire. Okay, let's begin right in verse 1. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, and say unto them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifices made by fire, as a sweet savor unto me, you shall observe to offer unto me in their due seasons. And you shall say unto them, this is the offering made by fire, which you shall offer unto the Lord, 2 lambs of the first year without spot, day by day. Now, Dankenbrink says day by day means they're both done in the daytime. No, this means day after day on a continual, for a continual burnt offering. Now, if they're both burned in the daytime, how can you have a continual burnt offering? One is for the daytime, one is for the nighttime. And the one that's offered in the daytime is at Bokur in the morning when the sun comes up, and the other one that is offered in the evening is Bein Ha'ar Ba'im, so that it burns all night. Just right at after sunset, then it is killed and it is burned. Okay? We'll notice that. The one lamb shall you offer in the morning, Bokur. The other lamb shall you offer at the evening, between the two evenings. Now, I do not care if later the tradition was to offer it before sunset. That is contrary to what is in the Bible. So what I'm trying to do with this is establish biblical authority over traditional authority, because too many people go back, well, Josephus wrote, or tradition has it, or the Talmud says, or the Targum says, or the Mishnah says. No, we want to know, what does God say? Okay, so here it is, between the two evenings. All right, then it gives the meal offering, the drink offering, verse 7. The other lamb shall you offer at even, between the two evenings, as the meat offering of the morning, the drink offering thereof shall you offer at a sacrifice by fire, a sweet savor unto the Lord. On the Sabbath day, 2 lambs of the first year without spot, then it gives a thing, this is a burnt offering, verse 10, every Sabbath besides the continual burnt offering and its drink offering. So what they had to do was this. After the sacrifice in the morning was already started, then they had two more sacrifices here of the lambs for the Sabbath offering. Okay? Then we find in verse 11, in the beginning of your months, you shall offer an offering unto the Lord two young bullocks, one ram, seven lambs of the first year without spot. I want to emphasize here in Numbers 28, the bullocks, the beginning of the month. That's going to be important as we see later. Okay? Then verse 12 is the meal offering, and 13 is the meal offering. Verse 14 is the drink offering. Last part of verse 14 says, this is the burnt offering of every month throughout the months of the year. And, verse 15, one kid of the goats for a sin offering unto the Lord shall be offered beside the continual burnt offering and his drink offering. Okay. All of these were commanded offerings at the tabernacle. These were mandatory. Now, verse 16. In the 14th day of the first month is the Passover unto the Lord. And you shall bring your offering to the priest to be offered. Does not say that, does it? It is not there, is it? No. Passover offering was not to be offered at the temple. Maybe the priest would offer his own there because he was there. Okay? But the people did not have to come and offer the Passover offering there. Right in the middle of all of these commands for burnt offerings, it's conspicuous for its absence, isn't it? Okay? That's why I facetiously made that statement, and you shall all bring your Passover offering to the priest. No, not there. Then notice, again, verse 17, and in the 15th day of this month is the feast. Even 7 days, I want to emphasize seven again, shall unleavened bread be eaten. In the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no manner of servile work. You shall offer a sacrifice made by fire for a burnt offering to the Lord. Two bullocks, I want to emphasize bullocks, one ram, and that would be something that was over a year old, a male, seven lambs of the first year. They shall be unto you without blemish, the meal offering, and so forth. It gives all the things that they were to do. Then in the day of the first fruits, verse 26, they were to bring the meal offering, the burnt offering, and all of that. That was there. And then we come to all of them. The rest of chapter 29 has to do with all of the offerings commanded for all of the rest of the feasts and every day of the feast of tabernacles, though they were not holy days. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 16. I think you will be surprised that I think we caught somebody's sleight of hand in making it appear that the Passover was to be just right as the sun was setting on the 15th. This is the only place in all of the Old Testament that gives any indication that it possibly could be on the 15th. But let's read it carefully, and let's ask some very hard questions. Let's read it. Chapter 16 and verse 1. Observe the month of Abib and keep the Passover. I'm going to read this all the way through without making any comment, then I'll come back and we'll analyze it, then I'll come back and we'll look at it again. So we're going to go through this three times. And keep the Passover unto the Lord, for in the month of Abib, the Lord brought you forth out of the land of Egypt by night. You therefore shall sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord your God of the flock and of the herd, in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction, for you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste. You shall remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. There shall be no leaven seen with you in all your coasts 7 days, neither shall there be any flesh of the sacrifice you sacrificed the first day at even remain all night until morning. You shall not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you, but at the place which the Lord your God shall choose to place his name in, there shall you sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season that you came forth out of Egypt. And you shall roast and eat it in the place which the Lord your God shall choose, and you shall turn in the morning and go to your tents. 6 days shall you eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day there shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work therein. Verses 1 through 8. Now, let's go back and look at this again. Let's look at some contradictions, because there are some contradictions here, very definitely. And they contradict the original Exodus 12. Let's look at it very carefully. Okay. First of all, the month of Abib we found associated with what? Unleavened bread and not the Passover, correct? Because unleavened bread they came out. Okay? There's the first conflict. You shall, verse 2, you shall therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord your God. Notice the next phrase, of the flock and of the herd. That was not the original command. It was a lamb or a goat. Flock refers to either goats or lambs. Herd refers to bovine. Nowhere were they ever to take a beef and offer it for the Passover. They could on the first day of unleavened bread, couldn't they? Yes, they were commanded to. Yes, they were. Of the flock and the herd has to do of what? Of the sacrifices for the feast of unleavened bread. We just read it, didn't we? Back in Numbers 28. Yes. Another contradiction of the flock and of the herd. Verse 3. You shall eat no unleavened bread with it. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, and you shall remember the day that you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with you in all all your coasts 7 days, neither shall there be any thing of the flesh which you sacrificed the first day at even remain all night until morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you. That contradicts what they did with the first Passover. They sacrificed at home. And we will show in just a minute in Mark 14 that they were still doing it during Jesus' day. Philo, another Jewish historian, says that the Passover is the only sacrifice whereby everyone of the nation of Israel becomes a priest for that day, and they sacrifice the Passover at home according to the head of the household. Okay? This, then, is a contradiction. Unless a word was changed. One change of one word would put this where I think it originally should have been. But at the place which the Lord your God shall choose to place his name in, there you shall sacrifice the Passover at even at the going down of the sun in the season that you came forth out of Egypt. And you shall roast and eat in the place which the Lord your God shall choose. You shall turn in the morning and go unto your tents. 6 days shall you eat unleavened bread. The only place in all of the Bible that says 6 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Another contradiction. So what are the contradictions that we have here? Number one, Abib is associated with the Passover and not days of unleavened bread. Number two, the sacrifice in the place which God would choose instead of at home. Number three, the sacrifice would be of the flock and of the herd, but you never heard John the Baptist say, "Behold the bull of God that takes away the sins of the world." Said the Lamb of God. Said the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. Nor was it said, "Behold the calf of the Lord, which takes away the sins of the world." It is the Lamb of God. And it was not the ram of God. Because you could take of the flock, and it could be a ram. It doesn't state of the first year in this particular case, does it? No. Something is wrong. What is wrong? Okay. The fourth contradiction that we have here, 6 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Now, we can resolve the fourth one easy by saying that it says right after that, and the seventh day shall be a holy convocation, which then would extend it to 7 days. I mean, we can overcome that contradiction pretty easy. That is not a difficult one. Okay. How then do you overcome the contradictions that we see here? Aha, there's a fifth contradiction which we have here. Let's make this number four and the fourth one number five. Fourth contradiction is the sacrifice the first day. And I think that gives a dead giveaway. The first day. First day. Mm-hmm. Verse 4. Okay. Now, I think we can solve the problem. Can anybody guess how to solve the problem?
Where did you say first day?
That is one of the keys that helped me. The phrase, the first day, is one of the keys that helped me unlock the problem here. I think that the Jews, in order to justify a 15th Passover, inserted in place of unleavened bread the word Passover. Very simple to do. Let me read it with the word unleavened bread, and it clears everything all up very nicely. You shall observe the month of Abib, and keep the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib the Lord your God brought you forth out of the land of Egypt. It agrees with Exodus 13, Exodus 23, Exodus 34, correct? Yes. You shall therefore sacrifice, and it should not be Passover, but the unleavened bread sacrifice, unto the Lord your God of the flock and of the herd. Does that fit with the rest of the scriptures? Yes. in the place which the Lord your God shall choose to place his name there. Is that required of all the other sacrifices except the Passover sacrifice? Yes. You shall eat no unleavened bread with it. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread therewith, for the bread of affliction, even the bread of affliction, for you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, and you shall remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life, an unleavened bread message, correct? Same as Exodus 13, Exodus 23, Exodus 34, unleavened bread. There shall be no leaven seen with you in all your coasts 7 days, neither shall there be any of the flesh which you sacrifice the first day of what? Unleavened bread at even, remain all night until morning. You may not sacrifice the Passover within any of your gates which the Lord your God gives you. Let's go back and reread that. You shall not sacrifice the sacrifices of the Feast of Unleavened Bread within any of the gates which the Lord your God gives you, but at the place which the Lord your God shall choose to place his name in, there shall you sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season which you came forth out of the land of Egypt. I think verse 5 and verse 6 were inserted into the text to justify a Passover sacrificed at the temple. Okay? That's what I think. And they slipped up on their little subterfuge here by putting in verse 8, 6 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Because they reduced the feast from 8 days to 7 days. No. It makes sense if you read the days of unleavened bread in it. It is perfect. It agrees with the rest of the scripture. Okay? That's correct. When you read this Feast of Unleavened Bread all the way through, the context fits all the way through. There are no contradictions. Now, how could this have been done? How could this have been done? I haven't figured out when it was done. How could it have been done? I think it was justified this way because the Jews called the entire thing what?
Passover.
The Passover. Yes, indeed. Now, I want you to follow through the rest of chapter 16 and you will see it has the same sequence as Exodus 23 and Exodus 34. What did it talk about? 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before me in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So if we take the Feast of Unleavened Bread and apply that to verses 1 through 8, okay, what was the next sequence of the 3 times they were to appear? At the Feast of First Fruits, correct, which is Pentecost. What do we have in verse 9? 7 weeks shall you number, so we have the Feast of First Fruits, correct? It follows the same sequence, right? Then what do we have? 3 times in a year shall you appear? Feast of Ingathering or Feast of Tabernacles? Look at verse 13. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days after you've gathered in your corn and your wine, and you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your son and your daughter and your manservant, your maidservant, the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow that are within your gates. 7 days shall you keep a solemn feast unto the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose, because the Lord your God shall bless you in all your increase and in all the works of your hand, which you therefore you shall surely rejoice. Now notice verse